Hey everybody, Melissa McKenzie, publisher of the American Spectator, here on The Spectacle with my co-host, the awesome Scott McKay, who's got three or four of the top five pieces right now in the American Spectator, where he is a senior editor. And also, he is the founder, publisher of the Hayride in Louisiana, and also of Reviver.com. Welcome, Scott. How's it going?
It's going fine. How are you, Melissa?
It's good. Today we're going to talk about for a few minutes Joe Biden and his
Yeah.
embrace of the transgender movement. You wrote
The
about this in a great piece.
outrage of all outrages.
He's talking about how basically, well, it's weird because Biden is saying that he didn't write it. Did you see him deny that he had anything to do with?
Yeah, his defense. Well, okay, like what we're talking about here is on Friday, Biden puts out a proclamation that says this Sunday, March 31st, is National Transgender Day of Visibility. And the whole country's like, it's Easter. Easter Sunday. It's not Transgender Day of Visibility. It's Easter Sunday. Well, it's both. And it's like, no, it's gonna be one or the other because you can't embrace transgenderism on Easter Sunday without rejecting the religion that makes Easter Sunday Easter Sunday. Sorry, but that won't fly. And I mean, I had a column about it. I called it a freaking outrage and an insult that even Barack Obama wouldn't do to the Christian religion. And this being the extension of Obama, I mean, it's pretty obvious these people are declaring war on Christianity, which they've already done in countless different iterations and manifestations. And now you have this ultimate insult. And their walk back on this is so unapologetic for one thing, and arrogant for another thing, and dismissive for a third thing, that it makes it obvious, like, why would you even walk it back? Because you clearly are for the trans people over the Christians. Like you clearly are. And we were talking about this a little bit just before the show started. So last night, we're recording this on Tuesday, last Monday night, Chris Cuomo on News Nation brings on Geraldo Rivera and James Carville to talk about, this thing. And Cuomo takes it's, his whole thing is a Republicans pounce angle to this, right? And it was more along the lines of, boy, this was a real screw up because you gave the Republicans an opening to bash you over this deal. Like, and this happens. This is basically what passes for objective journalism these days, right? Which is a Republicans pounce story, right? The Democrats do something which is utterly offensive to the vast majority of the American people. And when the Republicans make note of it, it's Republicans pounce, right? And so Cuomo does that, and he brings Geraldo Rivera on, who's supposed to be the conservative voice to this, which should tell you about the unbiased presentation that News Nation has to offer us. Geraldo Rivera is the right winger that he brings on, and Rivera's like, "Well, it was definitely a screw up. I mean, you've turned Donald Trump into Jesus, and it's all about how Trump is being persecuted, and this feeds right in, and yada yada yada." Which is true, but the emphasis on this is also offensive to Christians. It's like, okay, I don't care so much about the politics of this. I mean, obviously, I think it needs to be monetized by the right, but the politics is not what's important. The cultural signal is what's important. What's important here is that we have a cabal of people that run the country who hate Christians. You don't not hate Christians and say, hey, we're going to take the holiest day on your calendar and turn it into a celebration of transgenderism, which is the most vicious rejection of Christianity that you can get. I mean, to me, the base of Christianity, like the fundamental truth of Christianity, is we are as God has made us. Okay? And we should be thankful for that. And we should, whatever. The transgender argument is that, well, I can fix God's mistakes because he makes plenty of them if he even exists. And if I'm a man that wants to be a woman, well, between willpower and drugs and surgery, I can be a woman, right? Like, that is the transgender argument. You cannot get any more, do you want to call it unchristian or anti-Christian than that? And for the supposedly devout Catholic president to embrace transgenderism on Easter Sunday, and then be like, at the end of the day, what did I do wrong? It's like, you can't be what you claim to be and not understand what the problem is. The whole thing is such a grievous insult that I don't think it's possible to let this one roll off our backs. I think this is a call to arms, because I think it's a declaration of a war that's already been going on. I think it's obvious that these people are trying to impose their values above those of American Christians. And I think American Christians have got to fight back on this, or else the next step is going to be something that looks a lot like the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And in my piece, I threw in the opening scene from Three Body Problem, which is this new series on Netflix. Not so much because Three Body Problem has anything to do with this argument, but because the scene is a struggle session from the Chinese Cultural Revolution back in the late 60s. And it's like as vivid and brutal a depiction of what that was like as you will find. And that is what is in store for American Christians if this insult and outrage that these people perpetrated on the American people over the weekend, if you don't answer this and if you don't impose consequences on it and counter it, you're going to get struggle sessions like you saw in that scene. It's that serious. And I think a lot of people are starting to get it, but we need everybody to get it. And we need American Christians to now mobilize, not so much to do something, like let's go elect Trump, but you've got to throw these people out of office. You have got to put these people out of power. Because it is now get them before they get you. And you can do it with a vote, and you can do it with making phone calls to your friends and sending emails to people and doing all the other things that political activists do. But you better do it now, because by this fall, if this thing continues, it's going to be negotiating the terms of your surrender rather than preserving your freedom. So that's me on my soapbox, and I'll stop.
Well, I feel like this is, I kind of like when these guys become overt. Normally their stuff is covert and they give themselves cover. But in the last couple of this year, especially because Biden is so weak with his base, he's having to do things to corral the crazies, basically.
Yeah.
And so like coming out and doing that on Easter, for the people who are like, no, there's quite a few, and Dove Fisher wrote a great piece about this. It's up at the site today as well as your piece, talking about how Catholics like Biden, like Nancy Pelosi, have sold out their faith and have walked away from male and female. He made them. Everyone knows that's like, in Genesis, at the very beginning of the story, men were made male and female, divided. And everybody knows that that's the Christian worldview. It's also happens to be the Jewish worldview.
It's and like so you've every got, other major religion's worldview as well, but yes.
Exactly, by the way. Every belief system, forget even the pagans. This is a new thing, this kind of idea that you can change your fundamental biology, which you can't. But anyway, so the Dove goes after like Chuck Schumer and the Jews who are in power as well. So we really are being led by people who are wolves in sheep's clothing, who claim the power of their religion, whether it be Judaism or Christianity or Catholicism or whatever, but act as if their religion is a globalist will to power and this kind of neo-paganism. And so you have people who are doing this, and I'm like glad, because there's you know, Joe Biden has given too many people cover for, you know, he's got the whole grandpa ice cream thing down. And that's what is shown on NBC and CBS and all of that. And no one is really seeing him for who he is. And so when people say, well, he didn't, he couldn't. And then you go, he signed it. This is his declaration. This is what the White House said. It's a lot more difficult to deny it. And so then you have to say, okay, you're on the team of God haters. That's the team that you're on. And for the people who have been kind of on the fence, voting against something is sometimes as powerful as voting for something. And hopefully this is making it clear what people are voting for when they are not voting for the opposition to Biden. And so, like, you know, when you list all the things that Biden has promoted and is for, people are like, well, I'm not for that. I'm not for that. I'm not for that. I'm not for that. Oh, but I hate Trump. Yeah, but that all the things that you are for, you know, you're not willing to vote for. You're willing to put up with this. So, I mean, it, everybody has the place with the, where they break, but I really like it when someone like Biden finally comes out with who and what they really are. And maybe, well, maybe this will be a call.
We got a, I mean, we got a double dose of that over the weekend. I mean, because it's like, it's not, it's unmistakable at this point. Okay. There's no soft pedaling this. I mean, you know, and, you know, Carville's thing last night that I'm watching, I didn't watch News Nation. I just saw the YouTube clip of it. Like that didn't go over with Chris Cuomo. You know, he was like, yeah, but don't you think there's a problem here? Like, isn't this a, you know, this is like really bad optics, which is, you know, which is a crappy comeback. I mean, the comeback
what,
is
Cuomo oh, said that. Cuomo said that.
Yeah, Cuomo said that.
Well, he's supposedly Catholic, right? Like, so he's like, isn't this just a bad look?
Yeah, like I got Carville, the impression that Chris Cuomo was really uncomfortable with this Easter thing. Like, you know, it puts him in a crappy position because, like, he's all for Biden.
Right.
Like he wants to criticize Biden, but it's always in the context of, oh, you know, hey, you're making it hard for me to shill for you. Like, like that's basically Cuomo's.
Well, that's the media's position just about everything. It's like getting more and more difficult. Much. And it's like, why can't you make my job easier?
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, and look, I'm not going to, well, we don't pretend to be objective. So we're on a different standard. Like if Trump does something and we're like, okay, you know, like we're still on his side, but like, that's not good. It's different from, oh no, I'm an objective teller of truth here. Yeah, and yet I'm going to shill for Biden. And I'd really like it for you to make it easier for me. It's like, no, you just fell short of your obligation, which is what's going on with Cuomo. But they, I mean, they had this entire segment. And, you know, here's Geraldo Rivera, and he's like, well, I love transgender people. I have transgender great nephews. And it's like, shut up, Geraldo, you moron. Just shut up. Like, nobody wants to hear about your transgender great nephews. Give me a break, right? But he's sitting there. I mean, this just makes Donald Trump look like, you know, like he's the good guy here. And I'm going, this is such a disastrous, like, for everyone involved. It makes Chris Cuomo look like a jackass that he has James Carville, who has a red t-shirt, one of these crappy Mardi Gras polo shirts on, that he wears every time he goes on TV. And you would think Mary Madeline, who I guess has zero influence over, be like, why are you wearing that? Wear a regular collared shirt and look like a freaking adult. And of course he's got the LSU cap on, which chaps my ass that alma mater gets associated with this freaking slime ball.
He's a Cajun. He's your brother.
He's not the only Cajun. There's plenty of Cajuns out there that aren't embarrassing like freaking James Carville is. The guy look, he looked like a high school kid that got put on TV, except he's freaking old as dirt. you know, and he comes on here and he's just, this whole thing, it's just stupid. I mean, I don't know why they're making a big deal about this. And it's like, because it's Easter Sunday and you gave it to the trannies, that's why it's a big deal, clown. Like, don't pretend that this is not a big deal. You call yourself a Catholic. You're in a state full of Catholics. The entire state wants to lynch the president of the United States because he offended their Catholicism. And you're going to run around and tell everybody, no, I'm not peeing down your leg. It's raining. And everybody's like, you know what? We didn't like you in the first place. Now we really do. And I think this is sort of the Democrat Party writ large, which is their entire walk back to this is, you guys got this all wrong. You don't really. And it's like, no, you don't have credibility. Okay. Look at your approval ratings. We can't stand you already. And you continue to insult our values and our culture again and again and again, every time more aggressively than the last. And then when we say, hey, you can't do that, they come back and go, well, I don't know why you're making such a big deal about it. When everybody knows the game, this is a ratchet, okay? There's no, like I wrote about this last week, there's no consequences to anything, right? Jamal Bowman pulls the fire alarm to stop a vote that he knows he's going to lose, and they give him, oh, that's a $1,000 fine, and you need to apologize to the Capitol Police. No, you bounce this idiot out of Congress, okay? That's what you do. You bounce his ass out. No. You know, if you're going to disrupt congressional proceedings as a member of Congress and you do it deliberately and then like obviously lie about it, gone. You're out of here. We got rid of George Santos for a lot less than that. Okay. But nope, they didn't have the balls to get rid of Jamal Bowman. So now what does he do? He talks about, Hamas didn't actually rape any Israeli women on October 7th. Wait, what? And it's like, well, of course he said that. Okay. There was no consequences to the last thing he did. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse until you do something. Well, this is the entire game. The left gets away with things. And as they get away with them, everybody's life gets worse. Okay. They don't enforce the law in the cities. The cities become hellholes. Okay. It's not safe. All the businesses shut down. The poor people in the cities can't get jobs because there's nobody to employ them. Everybody's left for the suburbs.
Hey,
right.
Speaking of that, did you see that in California, because they raised the minimum wage to $25, and these workers are coming in all excited about their raises. They get their last check and lose their jobs. And they're like, yeah. What? Yeah. And what's happening? I personally think that this has been due for a while, Scott.
Well,
that the consequences of your superficiality and stupidity,
yeah,
and your willful ignorance and your basic cow-eyed, easily led stupidity, guess what? This is what it gets you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you listened to, you know, the media. I'm sorry you were a fraidy cat during COVID and you couldn't think for yourself. I'm sorry that all these things, you're paying the consequences now for you being weak-minded and dumb. You're like having to live with it. And the rest of us are having to live with this too, by the way. Thanks so much. And
That was one of the points that I made in that piece last week was civilization is based on the idea that we can impose consequences at a targeted level.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that guy is a bad actor who did a bad act. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make him pay for the bad act because the consequences of his actions should be borne by him. If we don't impose those consequences, then the consequences of that bad act are imposed on all of us. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you loot a store, the store goes out of business. And now the store employees don't have a place. The landlord doesn't have a tenant. The people that own the store are out of business, and the customers of the store don't have a place to shop. And because you didn't impose consequences on the looters, this is what you get. And the left is all about isolating people from the consequences of their actions. And America's elites are all about, and there is if you haven't, and I guess we'll make sure that we put the link to it. There is a fabulous piece that Joel Kotkin wrote at Unheard that I think it came out Monday. And it was all about how in the West, people are turning against the progressive elites who are isolated from the consequences of all of the policies that they go through, right? They're climate nuts and they want to stop people from eating meat and they want to feed you bugs and all this. Do they eat bugs? No. They didn't even stop with the private planes. They actually have conferences at these stupid, climate summits that they do about responsible yachting. Like Kotkin's talking about, he says, nobody wants to put up with these people. Like nobody wants to. Mm-hmm. Nobody is interested in, the multi millionaire heirs of some, productive captain of industry who left them this big fortune and they have to become citizens of the world and saviors of the planet at the expense of the working class and the middle class and all of these, because everybody hates these guys, is Kotkin's. Well, the left is now essentially built by and for those people. Mm-hmm. And they are totally out of touch with normal, ordinary experience. And they're built all about getting rid of consequences to people for bad acts. The problem is that they're spreading those consequences to everyone. Okay? And we're all suffering as a result of it. And I hope that people are finally getting to the point where they've had enough of this and are ready to impose some consequences. And, for like people like you and me, Melissa, it's like, well, it's about damn time, because we have put up with this for a very long time. We've been voices in the wilderness. Hey, could we please do something about this? And nobody's interested. Well, maybe now they're starting to get it, because like you said, these people are so out of the closet with their wacko beliefs and trying to impose them on everyone else that you can't deny any of this anymore. It's over. Now we know who they are. And we, it's like the book You're Not Supposed to Talk About says, by their fruits shall you know them. Well, right. It's undeniable now. We've got the actions and we've got the consequences there for everybody to see.
And
Easter Sunday, now it's like the insult right in your face.
Dawkins, Richard Dawkins is coming out. And did you see what he said about how the Christian culture was good for humanity? Now, this is the guy who put the God Delusion was the name of his book. And so now this guy, but this is my point. Like these people who have created this godless, brutal, violent, hideous place.
Soul killing. This is why nobody's happy, because the world you built sucks.
Right.
It sucks. And everybody knows it sucks.
Right.
And it's in all, every survey they do of people, how do you feel about this? Everybody is miserable. Everybody's unhappy. Everybody is dissatisfied with the way things are. They run all the institutions that made it that way.
Yeah.
So where's the accountability for your performance is my question.
There's not going to be any. It's going to be like the whole COVID thing. We should just, we should forgive each other. People were just very emotionally overwrought. I don't know how you can forget that. That's like, these people are one. You talked about Mao, and that clip is definitely worth watching for all of you, because it gives exactly what happened in China, exactly what would happen here if these completely hostile, anti-God people had complete control like they hope for, what they would do. It would not be kind to their neighbors. And I don't care if you're Christian or not. Anyone who disagrees with their worldview, disagrees with whatever their flavor of the day is going to be on the receiving end of their hatred and their violence and their murdering. And that is what animates the left. you know, a hatred of anything good and decent and beautiful and godly. And so an Easter Sunday where people are looking up and they're not looking toward the state, that's an insult to somebody who believes that they can manifest and manipulate nature to their own way. And so, like, you know, something like Easter, where sacrificial love is the focus, where God and heaven is the focus. The focus isn't on the raw power of the state. The focus is on love and sacrifice and family and social bonds. Well, all of those things are what weaken the state. And one of the things Absolutely. That I've noticed is that all of, you know, this absolutely transgressive, subversive, the actions on the left, whether it be men who are aggressively, you know, pedophiles basically dressing up and going into women's spaces to just make them uncomfortable and then daring somebody to say anything. These looters going in and taking something, everything, and then just daring someone to say anything or stop them. This kind of shameless aggression that's completely satanic and has a spirit of the devil, basically just daring you to say something. Biden's declaration, you know, completely crapping on the holiest day of the year for Christians. All of these things are anti-human, really, and
anti-civilization.
Anti-civilization. And so, you know? And that's the point. They yes. want to make themselves gods, and they do not want anyone to tell them no. And they yeah. perceive that Christian people are the stopgap, that the families they never had, or that they feel and they have chips on their shoulders and they're angry and traumatized or whatever from their own past. And so the solution isn't to go out and make things better. The solution is to tear everything down. It's completely nihilistic. So then you get a girl who thinks she's a boy shooting up a Christian school and taunting the children while she's killing them. As it turns yeah. out, like the mothers of that girl who was transgender, killing everybody, said that that she was taunting the children as she was killed. I mean, it's just like a demonic. And so you have this kind of evil, evil, destructive spirit. And Joe Biden is for that. Joe Biden and the Democrats are doing everything in their power to elevate that spirit, whether it be in the military, lighting up the, you know, building.
Well, when you have like the Nashville shooter and the response to it, okay, mm-hmm. is, oh, let's go take the guns away.
Right.
Right. You know, I mean, when it's just base political opportunism rather than maybe we should have some introspection about whether we're, you know, like we're clearly sending cultural signals that right. are not great. If you have something like this that happens, okay, like, you know, like how do we ameliorate something like this? Because whether it's a gun or a knife or a bomb or fentanyl in the air conditioning vents or whatever the hell it might be, the problem is the mentality that would lead someone to kill all of these people. Okay. You can argue whether a gun is more useful than something else, but that's all fine and well and good, but you're still going to have mass murderers if your culture is so sick that it produces a bunch of people who want to be that. Okay. Or who think that that is a way to be known, or the way these people to be seen, mm-hmm. which I never, like, I don't, I mean, I guess in the business I'm in, I gotta be seen. I don't really want to be seen. Like, I'm not an exhibitionist. Like,
yeah, but the thing is,
like, I'd like to be involved in the, you know, discussion of ideas and all that. But right. like, to me, I always thought famous was not a good thing. Like, famous invites all kinds of crap into your life.
Yeah,
these
the
people,
is,
like, they think fame yeah. is the only thing. Like, oh, it's the only thing that's important. Is I need to have a social media following. I need to have
the thing is, Scott, when you look at these folks, they feel they have a chip on their shoulder because they feel misunderstood. They feel misunderstood. Yeah. And instead of changing themselves, they believe that the environment should change to make their life better. And so when you have that belief, then you're going to be really angry when the world does not respond the way you expect them to based on your personal pet needs at any given time. So the spirit of somebody who brings a gun into an elementary school is no different than the girl who's leading the struggle session and killing the person who refuses to bend the knee about science, about, like in this case, the three body theory. They were talking about the three body problem, the
theory of relativity,
Big Bang theory. And so so you're supposed to, whatever the idea is these people hold, these angry, typically young people hold, is should be upheld by the people that they perceive in authority. And the problem is on the left, we've got Biden and the Democrats weaponizing this discontent for power. And they don't care what they're doing to the people. They don't care that a whole generation of young people is going to be destroyed by, castration because of what they're doing. Because that doesn't matter. What matters is raw power. And that's the same as in Mao's revolution.
Look, these people are Maoists at the end of the day.
They are Maoists.
I mean, interestingly enough, in Carville's thing last night, he was talking about, Biden doesn't know anything about this, and like the people around him, and one of the names they said, he said first names, but one of the names he said was Anita. Mm-hmm. He's talking about Anita Dunn, okay, who is the message maker for Team Biden. Right. If you'll remember, early in 2009, she got pointed to something in Obama's, within the White House, not in the cabinet, but like it was a high position in the White House. I'd have to go back and look it up and see what it was, but it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And this video pops of her talking, as Chairman Mao said, we all know power comes from the barrel of the gun. And everybody was like, what the hell? We have Maoists in the Obama White House? And the answer is yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they kind of shuffled Anita Dunn off, like away from the public. Turns out that PR firm that she has in New York City, I mean, everything in the Democrat Party runs through that. The whole MAGA extremist narrative that they won't shut up about, that was Anita Dunn's idea. And like they ended up celebrating her for coming up with it until they realized that it was a bomb and that it didn't actually work. She's the message maker for Team Biden. And James Carville's over here to like, oh, I need to know anything about that. And it's like, okay, you just confess the fact that look, these people are Maoists.
Right.
Okay. And like, they would give us the only difference between, Mao was really less successful than some other communists out there. But what's attractive about Mao, okay, is the Cultural Revolution.
Right.
If you're going to emulate a Chinese communist dictator, it'd probably be Deng Xiaoping, because they went from starving to somewhat middle class on the world stage based on what Deng Xiaoping did, right? You'd say, well, this guy made it work, right? No, they like Mao. And they like Mao for the explicit reason that he was able to tear apart Chinese society and render it so freaking prone on the ground that they could lift it up any kind of way they wanted. That's what these guys worship. That's what these guys are interested in, is the exercise of raw political power. And the previous sort of iteration of American leftists, who were all sort of Stalinists and glorified the Soviet Union, Bernie Sanders had to go to like Leningrad for his freaking honeymoon, right? They looked at and don't get me wrong, the Soviet Union was colossally repressive, but like they didn't demand that you think exactly how they want. If you wanted to be in power, you had to. But regular Joe, who's not in a position to threaten the regime,
I don't know about that.
No. They would let you deal with the black market to get a washing machine.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They would let you go to church. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You couldn't bring any of that anywhere. They would let, like, there were limits to what the Soviet government would do to regular folks. Now, once you were in, to get benefits in the Soviet Union or to become somebody, you had to join the Communist Party. And that was putting your head in that lion's mouth. They would purge people out of the Communist Party for wrong thing. The difference between that and Maoist China was they didn't give a damn if you were part of the Chinese Communist Party or not. They were going to impose these values on you, particularly if you were someone who was in a position to threaten that regime. If you were a school teacher, okay, teach third graders somewhere, they would grab you, they would put you through the struggle session, and then they would send you off to the woods to cut down trees, okay, or to do, you know, work on farms, do manual labor, like, and you would go there for 5 years until you thought as a peasant, then they might bring you back, which is a level of, you know, you may not care about politics, but politics cares about you, that you didn't even have in the Soviet Union with all the gulags in Siberia. Like, this was on, and, you know, we weren't really connected to China at that point. This was right before Nixon's, you know, opening up. Like, so they were isolated and, like, practically the same as North Korea is now. You know, like, it was an almost another world altogether. So that didn't really penetrate us, what the Chinese were doing, because we were looking at Russia. But it was so much worse. So much worse. And now you have an entire class of people, these elites, that fetishize the Cultural Revolution. We can do that here with much less damage. And it's like, how could this possibly happen? And the answer is you give these morons the ability to take charge of these cultural institutions, and they don't have a limiting principle. So, yeah, you're on the precipice of something like this, which is why we've got to fight back. I mean, like, hard. Like, this has got to be stopped cold and forcefully.
Well, the thing is, the first step is becoming aware of the problem. Hopefully everybody now, after 4 years of Biden, is starting to be aware, accepting that Joe Biden is not a Catholic, practicing Catholic, accepting that Chuck Schumer, accepting that these people who profess the name of God do not believe it one in him one iota and believe themselves to be God and are making themselves, and then take action.
Yep.
Vote differently. Do not give money to these people. Understand that these institutions are made expressly for your destruction, and fight back, sue them, and, you know, take action and hold your Congress people to account and all of that. So, like, and that feels like weak sauce, because at this point too, this is a spiritual problem. So, like, get your house right, go back to church. If you were staying at home during COVID, get your ass back in church, start putting your money where your mouth is. And because this happens, change happens one citizen, one individual, one family at a time. And if a family is strong, the state cannot, you know, prevail. But we've got a lot of weakened families and communities out there, which is why they can do what they're doing.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, be around like-minded people and be determined to not break in the face of this kind of social pressure. You know, one simple way to do this is simply to not accept what, be like J.K. Rowling and just simply not accept that when they say, well, I'm a woman. No, you're not. I'm calling you a man because that's what you are, and I am not pretending. And so, you know, and don't do it in your communications with people. Don't engage in the fantasies of others. You wouldn't do it for an anorexic. You wouldn't call an anorexic person fat. Why in the world are you helping the mentally ill and angry as hell men and indulging in their psychosis and call them a woman? Don't do it. Simply refuse to play the game. And the jig is up. I said this way back with COVID, Scott, that the minute the American people were done with this thing, it's over. The minute the people, and I saw it locally, the minute the people were like, you know, walked, blew right past the little censor who was like, here, you know, you need to put on a mask or whatever, and just like, no, I'm not doing it. It's over, because they simply cannot overpower the masses of people who are saying no. And that's what this thing is too. The minute the American people say enough of this BS, it's done. And so that's what the American people need to do. They did it with Budweiser. They can do it with this transgender madness, and they can do it with the Democrats who are foisting this insanity on us and on the world. It's got to stop. Well,
agreed.
All right. So, Scott, where can everybody find you?
Well, same place they can find you, this spectator.org. I guess now would be a good time for me to plug. This weekend will be the final episode of King of the Jungle, as it's been serialized at the American Spectator. On April 12th, it goes live on Amazon. You can buy the entire book, but you can read it in 10 installments at spectator.org. So there's that. As you mentioned earlier, I'm at thehayride.com and reviver.com. And also check out Racism, Revenge, and Ruin. It's All Obama, which is my latest political book, also at Amazon and everywhere else that books are sold.
So everybody like and subscribe. Thank you, Scott. Find his stuff everywhere. He's everywhere. We're going to call him the ubiquitous Scott McKay. And like and subscribe, share, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time here at The Spectacle.